the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning and go with me to the book of Romans and chapter number 6. I thought I ought to preach a hot sermon this morning to keep things really warmed up, right? Amen. But, you know, it's cold out there, and you wonder, how cold is it? So I'm going to tell you how cold it is, and you say, how cold is it, all right? It's really cold out there. I'm glad you asked, because it's so cold out there, my false teeth are chattering, and they're still in the glass. It's really cold out there. It's so cold, even the politicians keep their hands in their pockets. It's so cold out there. It's so cold out there that even the penguins are trying to fly south. Jordan's always on the delay on my jokes. Amen. That's all right. As long as it gets there, we're no complaints. It's really cold out there. It's so cold out there, even the milk cows are giving ice cream. It's so cold out there. It's so cold, my shadow froze to the sidewalk. That's cold, right? It's cold out there. Even the teenagers pulled up their pants. That's cold. Amen. It's cold out there. It's so cold I saw a dog frozen to a fire hydrant. Some of you catch that later. It's cold out there. It's so cold I saw an Amish man buy an electric blanket. It's cold out there. It's so cold, even Starbucks is serving coffee on a stick. One more. I haven't asked the question yet. It's cold out there. It's so cold, the police told a robber to freeze, and he actually did. Amen. Oh, man. You don't get anything that good until you come to church, right? Amen. All right, Romans chapter 6 in our Bibles this morning. We're going to read the first 18 verses of this passage of Scripture. This is one of the most blessed passages of Scripture in all the Bible. And the meaning of it is so valuable to us this morning. I want to preach on it today. Romans chapter 6, let's begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's going to be good. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible this morning, and thank you for the privilege to open it. And Lord, we just pray your guidance and your Holy Spirit would meet with us today. Lord, it's a cold day, and Lord, could be a distraction to us this morning, but God, we just pray this morning you would reach into our hearts, meet with us today. Your word says we're just two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. We claim that promise this morning. So Lord, I pray you'd open the word of God to us today. Teach us thy wonderful word, we pray. And most of all, anyone who does not know Christ as Savior, I pray you'd save them on this day. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage of Scripture that we read this morning is an amazing passage of Scripture. It is a passage that really is a step-by-step manual of being a successful Christian. It starts by recognizing that sin reigns in every human, and it leads us step by step all the way into verse 21, where this person to whom sin reigned in, step by step, they become a fruit-bearing Christian. That is an amazing process that takes place. And it's amazing because God said in His Word that sin can be overcome to a place where a Christian can bear fruit for the Lord. Now, can I tell you, that's the ultimate goal of every Christian. That ought to be your ultimate goal as you serve the Lord, that you become a fruit-bearing Christian. That's our desire. That ought to be our number one goal. That ought to be the thing that makes us tick, the thing that makes us move and breathe in Christ, is that we want to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful and a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I want to give you some of those steps today that God gives in His Word to come from a Christian who maybe there's sin that overcomes and bears in our life, and we just have trouble getting a spiritual scissor to cut it off. But God has a principle and a wonderful thing in His Word to give us this understanding. So I want you to look at it with me today, and let's begin verse number one of what God says here. He says these words, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Of course, the answer is, God forbid. And the obvious conclusion in verse 2 is that, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How should we live that way? How should we keep living in what God just took away from us in our life? But to understand what the verse is talking about, you have to understand the word grace and abounding in the passage. The word abounding does not just mean it abounds. It means it's super abounding. It means that it abounds way beyond our capacity to comprehend it and understand it. It's kind of like you and me, we can understand $10. We can understand $100, $1,000, and maybe $10,000. But it starts getting a little cloudy after that. Amen? If we start understand $100,000, wow, I've never seen that, right? And you start getting up to $1,000,000, and it starts getting really cloudy. But imagine $1 billion. I just read yesterday, Elon Musk is worth $447 billion. Now, I can't understand that. In this life, I never will understand it either. Amen? But this is the picture of grace. You know, we can fathom a certain amount of grace. We can come to a certain understanding, but we cannot imagine grace that superabounds. And that is what God says is what causes us to know Christ. It's kind of like a thirsty man who's got a cup in his hand. And you're going to have to really think with me, because my illustration is a really hot, warm day. So you'll have to really help me out here in thinking about this. But here's a man that's been walking for 5 days, no water. No water. And he finally comes up to a beautiful, clear lake. And he walks up to that lake with this cup of water in his hand. And as he looks at this beautiful, clear lake, as far that way, as far that way, as far that way as he can see, it's nothing but pure, clear water. And this man's been walking in the heat with no water for 5 days. He's probably right at the point of death. His organs are probably ready to shut down. And he's got a cup of water. And he goes up to this lake and he looks down at the cup of water and he says, "You know what? I don't think I want to take too much of that water." There's people out here who are boating and water skiing and doing all these fun things, fishermen. And I think if I took too much of that water, that, you know, I might be causing a problem to somebody. I think I'm going to just take a drop of water. And he gets his cup out there and he takes that drop of water. You say, "You know what? That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard." You know, some people do the very same thing spiritually. They live dry, hungry lives. And God has superabounding grace that He desires to impart. And yet some people cannot even understand that there's plenty of it for them. They choose to live a bogged down, miserable, hunger, thirsty life. They choose to live that way. And every once in a while, they want just a little tidbit from God. But can I tell you, God is such an amazing God that He goes beyond any of that and says, "Take a whole cup of water. Get yourself satisfied, because you will not even touch the level of that water. No matter how much you drink, you won't even touch the level of that water." That is the picture of what God's grace is here in this passage of Scripture. God's grace can abound to any sin. It can overwhelm any. There is no sin too great that grace cannot enter into. None. You can't sin too great where God's grace cannot cover it. You cannot do it. You can take your sin and wander if you want. You can live life as dry and barren as you want, but God offers His grace. He says, "I got plenty of it. Just take it in. Take all you want, because you'll never diminish the supply of grace." And can I tell you today, there are so many people that live their life in this area where there's no grace in their life, when God's got super abounding grace. There's no need to live in sin. Grace can cover it. You know, it reminds me of a guy who was in his backyard. He had a mud hole in his backyard, and it was only a source of water. And it was this cloudy, dirty, muddy water. And every day he'd go out and he'd try his best to clear out the water, and he'd get enough water for that day. But it was still had a little green stuff in it, you know, cloudy. A few flakes of mud in it. And that man would drink that water every day. That's all he had. And as he drank that water every day, little by little, he began to notice his body was changing and his health was getting worse. His hair was getting gray and his skin was changing color. And he went to the doctor, and The doctor said, the only thing I can think of is it's something in your body that you're eating or something that you're drinking that's causing your body to become old prematurely. What is it that you're drinking? What is it that you're eating in your life? And the man came to this conclusion that he was drinking this nasty water. And that nasty water was wearing him down. When right over the hill was one of these lakes of grace, where all he had to do was go to that lake of grace, find enough water that's pure and clean. And when he'd take that water and he'd drink that water, he began to notice his health started little by little coming back. He started having more energy and more life, and he was more happy and satisfied. Things of life, his skin color returned. And it was all because he had found plenty of good water to drink. Now, the passage of Scripture is kind of like that. Because God says in verse 2, as he steps forward in this manual of success, if you will, he steps forward by seeing a man whose sin reigns, and he gives him the answer, sin can be overcome by grace of God abounding in the heart of a man. Oh, the depths of the grace of God. And he says here, secondly, he said, shall we continue in that sin that grace may abound? Notice he said, God forbid. Like that man who was drinking that water out of that mud hole, and he found out where the good water is, you think he's going to go back to that mud hole? You think he's going to go back to that flaky, dirty water where the cows have been trampling in and doing other things in that water too? You think he's going to return to that water hole? God forbid. He's found pure water, and he's found plenty of it. He's found so much there that he doesn't need the dirty old filthy water. And this is the understanding of the passage. If sin reigns, you need the grace of God in your heart. And the grace of God is so good that you don't need to return to the old mud hole. That's what God's saying. There's so many that sin has come in their heart, but God has changed them through the grace of God that is overflowing, it's abounding. It can cover any sin that man has ever done because there's so much of it. There's grace of God. Sometimes I meet a person who will be so wrapped in guilt of their sin that they won't partake of the good water. They're still stuck in the dirty water. Oh, what a shame when you know there's so much water, so much of the grace of God, you can just take it and take it and take it. And so what God is saying here in this passage is that if you're not saved, there's enough grace to save you from all sin. There's no limitation on it. You know, as humans, we're limited sometimes. If you had $1,000, you'd probably like that, but you'd be limited in what you could do with it, right? I mean, you wouldn't go out and buy a brand new truck with it. Well, you might, but you'd have big payments, I'll promise you that. But you'd be limited on that amount of money, right? You could say, well, with this amount of money, I could do this and maybe that, but that's it, that's the limit. But with the grace of God, there's no limit on our sins being forgiven. It superabounds. It's like taking that cup of water. You can just keep on taking it and taking it, taking it. God said, that is sufficient. I want to tell you something. You can't sin too bad, but what the grace of God cannot cover it. And you can stay in the guilt of that sin, but let me tell you something. God offers freedom from that. He offers to take those chains off. He offers you the freedom of his grace, which superabounds to anyone. You know, this may sound unusual to you, but Even a man like Adolf Hitler, in all the evil that he promoted and did in his life, if before he died, if he would have opened his heart and genuinely repented of sin and trusted Christ, there would have been enough grace to cover every sin that that man had ever done. That's how much grace there is. But then he goes on here. You know, salvation, just being saved, is not the point of this passage. It's the beginning steps. But God's point here is to grow all the way where you become a fruit-bearing Christian. It's God's will that all of us bear fruit. And so he step-by-step gives us here this plan. Sin reigns, victory comes, though, through this. And notice the third step here is that their victory gives us death to the old man. Notice what the Bible says here. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He's saying the old man, that old man who wants that old muddy water, he died. He died because he's found that grace is sufficient. He's found the clear water. And he's found plenty of it. Why go back to that old hole? Why go back to that old muddy hole? You know, sometimes a Christian will do that. They'll be genuinely saved, but something changes in their life. They go back to that old muddy hole. It isn't because they lost their salvation. It's because they lost fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ through sin. And God's trying to teach us, when we're saved, that new man needs to live in our life. Let the new man live, Christian. Let that old man die. And you know, he's comparing Christ's death on the cross to this. He died for you and me and rose again. That is the victory in the pattern of Christ. That's the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what God does in us while we're still living on this earth. The old man dies, but there's a new man that gets to live. Hallelujah. Thank God for the new man. He's found a new source of water. He ain't going back to that old mud hole again. That water is good and sufficient and plentiful and healthy and strengthening and satisfying the new man. Are you walking in that new man today? Does that old man still have control of your life? You don't need the muddy hole again. You know what you need? Stay with the pure water. Stay with it. Let that old man die. He's the one that was causing you to have all those health issues in the first place. He's the one that caused your skin to get bad and your heart to get defeated and your steps to be slow and your hair to be gray. That old man, there's a new man who's alive because Christ is alive. Let him live in our hearts. So when grace comes in, he brings victory. The old man dies, and a new man lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another step, step five. Step five is the yielding to the new man. Notice what he says here in verse number 13. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. He's talking to Christians. But yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. See, that's why we yield to God, because we're alive. We yield because we're alive. I can do whatever God wants me to do because I'm alive in Christ. You see, the aliving gives us the opportunity to do the yielding. to the Lord Jesus Christ. That old man didn't want to yield anything. That old man just wanted to do whatever he wanted to do, and that's what brought him in that condition. But oh, I want to tell you something. The new man yields to Christ. He lets God have his way. He says, thank God he made me a new man. And because he made me a new man, I can serve him and live for him and yield to him. Hallelujah. Man, that ought to even make a Baptist shout. Yield to him. Thank God we may not always be what we should be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. That old man's dead, and there's a new man that wants to live in Christ. But now, wait a minute, we haven't bearing any fruit yet. We've got to yield to him. We've got to yield to him. Let God have his way in your mind and in your life. Are you yielded to God? Are you yielded to him? Can you say today, these hands are not my hands? They're God's. They're God's. Can you say to him, these feet are not my feet? They're God's feet. They're God's feet. Can you say to God today, my mind, my eyes, my ears, they are not my ears. They are God's ears. They're God's eyes. It's God's mind. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. I'm nothing of my own. You get all the glory and honor because you took the old man dead in sins, revived him by abounding grace, and gave him a new life, a new man to live for Christ. Oh, that's the key. That's the key to never going back to that old mud hole again. That's the key. I don't want that old mud hole. I know what it did to me. I don't want it again. That's why I want to yield to that new man every day. Wait a minute, though. We're not yet at fruit bearing. There's this another step that comes, he says here, after yielding to him. Here's the next step. Notice what he said. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Here it is. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, the next step is not only when we yield to him, but then we become free of sin. We become free of sin. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. What does that have to do with fruit bearing? Here's the point. When God declares us free, what he's doing is he's opening up the entire avenue for us to serve him. You know, if you were in prison today and they let you out, they'd open the door. They'd let you go out. You were free. You know what you could do at that point? You could choose to freely go in any avenue you wanted to go. You were free. And I want to tell you something. That is exactly how we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not chained. I am not forced. God is not constraining or pushing or holding me, because if I yield to him and his mighty grace, I then become free to serve him. free to serve. And may I tell you what? That comes under the understanding that all that past is buried in the deepest sea. It's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, like he's saying this morning. It's under the blood. It's all in the past. And I'm free from it. Freedom in Christ. That freedom's a two-way street. Either that freedom leads us to becoming the fruit-bearing Christian that God wants, or that freedom leads us back to that mud hole, which many people find, sad to say. That freedom is the opportunity that God gives you and I to bear fruit for Him. Look at the rest of the passage. Notice verse 18. Being then made freed from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Here it is, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. God took us from sin reigning and overflowed us with His mighty grace. We didn't deserve it, but His great love brought it to us. And because of that, we don't want the old mud hole again. We said, Lord, that old man's going to die. The new man's going to live. And Lord, I yield to you. And when I yielded, God gave me freedom. Freedom to serve Him. Freedom to live for Him and please Him. And that freedom brings me the opportunity to have fruit unto righteousness in Christ forever. You see the simple steps that God has in His Word? And it all gives God the glory because He's the one that began it all in His mighty grace. He's the one that started everything when He died on that old rugged cross with mankind, every one of us, in His mind and in His heart. And He said, I'm going to die for them so that I can make them eventually free to have fruit unto righteousness. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's fruit in our life that should be the thing that we want more than anything. It's that fruit in our life. It's what comes from that life of being free to love God and serve God. Hey, I want to tell you something. Tomorrow morning, nobody's going to make me get up in my Bible, read it. I want to get up and read it. I'm free to read it. I'm free to read it. And so are you. You're free to read God's Word. You're free to get in God's Word. And from that freedom of serving God and choosing to serve God, the fruit of righteousness will come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to tell you something. There's nothing better than having real fruit in your life. Fruit doesn't just come overnight. It comes as we follow God's pathway and His plan for fruit in our life. Do you have fruit in your life, Christian? Is there something that shows the evidence in your life? Is there a fruit that's being produced into your life that shows that you are free in Christ to serve Him and live for Him? Because that fruit is what we need. Oh, Christian, if you're here today and there's one of these steps that's missing in your life, watch, find that step and say, Lord, that's where I need you. Lord, that's where I need you. I want to be free to serve you. Free to live for you. And free so that fruit can abound in my life. Lord, I don't want to be free to go back to that old mud hole. Help me, dear Lord, to be free to have fruit in our life to serve you. Do you have that in your life today? If not, why don't you ask God, wherever that step is, whatever place that is in your life. And maybe you're here today, maybe you've never even trusted Christ. You've never even been saved today. Can I tell you what? There is an overwhelming amount of grace that God's provided for you, that He can take anything that you've ever done. The supply of water, He doesn't want you just to have a drop. He wants you to have all that will satisfy our sin-sick soul in His grace and through His saving power in the Lord. Would you trust Him today? Would you put your faith in Him? And maybe you're here today, maybe you're a Christian. Maybe there's one of these things in our life that's not really in place like God wants it to be. Let's give it to God today. And let's be free to serve Him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.